And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way. As we just heard, Pete is on his way out to do a little field research, but we're still hanging with you for another full hour. Corey Sandin and myself talking fishing, having a great time. And man, it's been a great show. I always get blown away at how, when we're having a good time, like this show is one of my favorites. When it's just us hanging out, BS, and talk about fishing, especially MC Swim Baiting and Calico Bassing, one of my most favorite things is how fast the show goes by.
It's
and
fun,
the
man.
Fact that an hour's already gone is crazy to me. But we still got another hour coming your way. And if you want to join us, give us a call this morning, 833-288-0973. Again, 833-288-0973. Or shoot us a text. The text has been absolutely blowing up this morning. If you didn't catch that first hour, a new feature that we have if you want to kind of participate and join in the fun on Let's Talk Hookup, just jump on that Let's Talk Hookup app. It's very easy to find, a totally free app. And right on the front page, as you scroll down, you'll see the little tab, Text the Show. Click that button and shoot us a text, and all your info will come right to us. And we're happy to read those text messages, especially when either the phones are packed and you can't get through, or maybe you don't have the ability to hang on. It's a great way to go. In addition to taking your phone calls and texts, we are giving away a great prize. Again, as we mentioned, full-day trip going fishing on the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fishing to one lucky caller at the end of the show today. An awesome, awesome prize.
That is way cool because they've had such fun fishing, too.
Yeah.
Limits of Dorado.
That is so cool, too. In full-day range, the visuals and fish jumping all over the place, and it's definitely like our cool, local, exotic, and just, yeah, that's a blast.
And September should be lit up, too, man.
Too.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to be a good one.
Good time.
Well, Corey, the phones are absolutely packed. Everybody's excited to talk to you. Let's do it. Let's continue with our phones and talk to Eric. He's calling us from Poway this morning. What's up, Eric? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Just wanted to say, hey, thanks a lot, Corey. You've brought a lot of happiness into my life. I just got one question because I've been fishing the kelp, and I've been trying to fish the boiler rocks, especially in South Island, you know, those areas down there, down in Mexico. How would you do it? Do you have to try throwing on top of the rocks or into the surf itself, you know, as it hits the rocks? What do you do?
Well,
that's
there's
a great question.
It is, it really is, because there's a couple ways to do it. And if the fish are hanging up tight, there's a little bit of surge, you know, 3 to 4 foot of swell, and you've got a little bit of white water and you've got all that going on, you can get it done with a weedless style. You know, you can literally hit the rock and let it drop in the water and sink down a couple feet and wind it through that foam and that white water. They hang right underneath that looking for that scenario. But if it's a little bit calmer, and you can still do it if it's a little bit of surge and stuff, a little bit calmer situation where they're not going to be uptight and hanging there, they'll hang. You might be within cast length of the rock, but you're in 45 feet of water.
Yeah.
Okay, so that whole scenario, lead-headed slug or lead-headed swim bait. Lead-headed slug is an amazing lure. To fish in that, let's say you're throwing it up in a 25 feet of water, but those fish are suspended probably 15 feet off the bottom, 10 feet from the surface. So to throw that lead-headed slug and let it sink 10 to 15 feet, wind it back in 10 to 15 feet, and then let it sink again. And that'll usually draw a reactionary bite. And the reason I'm saying a lead-headed slug is it sinks fast. It sinks fast without resistance, and it draws a reaction. It cannot handle that thing coming in their zone. Think of how fast a mackerel or a sardine will swim, and that lead-headed slug is not even matching half of the speed a sardine will swim. So they're going to meet it. They're going to crush it. That's a fun way to do it.
Is there a condition that tells you that fish is going to be up inside the foam or back off of it a ways, or do you really just have to kind of determine that while you're making your cast? And hey, if I got a bite close, that's a good sign they're close, or you know, I fished it out a ways and that's where I started getting a bite.
You just got to feel it out.
Okay.
I mean, that's the whole scenario. You know, maybe if you're getting bites in the whitewater, let's keep fishing the whitewater. You know, and that's the way I would do it. Just like local kelp. I mean, that's the same way. Are they on the outside edge? Are they in the middle? Are they in the thickest part of the kelp? Are they in the sparse kelp? I mean, it's every hour and every day is different from the next, really. And so you just got to feel it out. And those islands, there's been some huge monsters kicked out of those islands. Almost all of the 11 to 13 pound calicos that I've heard about have come from the Coronado Islands.
That's crazy.
Some big ones.
And a spot where not a ton of people spend a ton of time trying to fish calico bass. Not to say that there's not a plenty of dedicated guys that do, but that's an area that's not that far from home that if you really dedicated your time to, you probably have a good chance at catching a big one.
There's when that South Kelp has kelp on it, you know, the SKR, man, that is a fun place to fish, but all the big ones come from the rock and the island and the structure and hanging up tight and making a living literally hiding in that foam, hiding that ragweed and hanging in the foam. One of the biggest ones I've heard about, calicos ever, and well, the world record is 14 and a quarter, was caught from a quarter mile from Newport Harbor, but actually the next biggest one was Bill Hochstad had a 13 and three quarters. 13.75, this is not a guesstimate, this isn't weighed on a rusty spring scale, this is literally
a real one.
Legitimate, he caught it. The San Diego Anglers were having a family-style tournament that day out of Shelter Island. He brought it in.
Oh, my God.
Weighed it legitimately on their scale and went back out and let it go. So that fish lived. 13.75. And that's a monster. Was caught from those islands right there. So... But don't think you have to go to an island to catch a monster. You know, I know Cedros, there's a ton of that 5 to 7 pound, but have you ever heard of too many 12s and 13s? Right. You know they're there, but a lot of them are local, real close.
That's cool, man. God, that gets me fired up.
Dude, it gives me chills.
Hey, Eric, appreciate the phone call, buddy, very much. Let's try a text message question. We've had a ton of them roll through. It's been a really busy again. Those all come just via the app. And this one was sent to us by Simon, and he was wanting to know kind of more about rod action. What rod action and style, length of rod, power, fast taper, do you like when you're fishing the 5-inch swim bait?
I'm glad Simon texted that in, because we haven't even talked about that.
Yeah.
That's probably the most crucial part of the whole program, other than the lure and the line and the heavy fluorocarbon. The rod action that I use is a very light rod, much lighter than anybody would ever think. Even when I'm using an 80-pound Spectra with an 80-pound leader, I'm using a rod that's rated 12 to 20-pound mono, a very lightweight rod. Seeker has a Signature Series, you know, Corey Sandin. I'm not big on promoting myself, but Simon, go look at the 708. Is one of my favorite rods. I could do anything I want with a 708. Maybe you don't like that kind of rod, but just look at the action. It's rated 12 to 20. They're almost a like a fiberglass bend, and they are a blend. Mm-hmm. So there is some fiberglass in play there that gives you that soft action. One of the worst things that you want is a very stout graphite rod with no give.
It's funny because I think that a lot of, you know, your mind goes to, I'm catching a beefy fish and big cover and heavy line and big hook. I need to yank and crank and pull that thing away. But you can pull a calico bass.
Listen, I have landed, being brought up to the boat and let them go, 150 to 200-pound black sea bass. On the same gear, everything we're talking about, on a 7-inch weedless or an 8-inch slug, fishing for calicos, and to have 150-pound black sea bass come up and eat it, and literally like, oh, my gosh, not again, because it's 10 minutes of a nightmare trying to release that thing, you know. But all the same gear, everything. And so you're going to handle a 10 to 14-pound calico, no problem.
708, that's your favorite.
It's one of my favorites. Yeah. 706 is my second, 708, and then a 709. Those three rods are all you need.
That's cool. All right, well, that's great. Great text. Appreciate that. All right, let's jump back into the phones. Phones, this time we're going to talk to Ed. He's calling us from Mira Mesa this morning. Good morning, Ed. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Corey, I was wondering, it seems like every time I go into a store and usually the swim bait that I'm looking for is gone.
Yes, that happens.
You know,
sorry.
Well, that's okay. But, you know, we haven't had any, like, Fred Hall or anything like that, because I know, you know, I stop and I load up on that. Are you going to be at the Tackle Days?
That's a plan, yeah. So Tackle Day and then the Dana Landing Bay Bass Seminar in late January, early February, somewhere in there, and the Fred Hall Show and the Long Fins Appreciation Days they have. Those are like the only things I do. And so, you know, if you want to come and take advantage, that's when you've got to do it. And that's why we're so busy at the Fred Hall shows or Tackle Days, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and Tackle Days, as Doug had mentioned, it's definitely planned on going forward. Going to obviously be different this year. We're, you know, having to comply with social distancing and things like that, which we're obviously all good on. There'll be a lot more outdoor stuff, a lot more spread out than it was before. But the core still vendors will still be there. We're still going to have seminars, but it'll be at a slightly smaller scale. They'll obviously be spread out a lot more. So, but yeah, still going as planned. First Saturday in November, which I believe is the 7th, but don't quote me. First Saturday in November. But yeah, that'll be fun, and always good to have Corey there at that one. That's
always
a special
fun
day for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it's a huge day too, Ed. You know, if you come down, and I try to bring a nice spread of usually some 5-inch and come on down.
All right. Appreciate the phone call, Ed, very much. Going back to the text, this time from Peter in Santa Barbara. Hey, Corey, he wants to know, Corey, what bait do you like for shallow water rockfish? He's talking Santa Barbara where he's fishing 40 feet or less, so up in the shallows. And do you make a bait that resembles a monkey-faced eel?
A monkey-faced eel. Wow, that's interesting. I bet the 8-inch slug would work for that, too, because I know a lot of guys that fish that zone and fish even north of there, you know, up to Monterey and San Francisco, and the 8-inch slug's a good one, you know, and it's you're not, it's same thing as the calicos, you know, you're not going to hook every 1 to 2 pound blue bass that's trying to chase it down, right? But you're going to hook that 4 pound red that absolutely knows what he's doing. And I know Eric Landisfine's done a lot up there too, Santa Cruz Island and the islands north of there, and has done very well on an 8-inch leadhead slug. And that's as simple as an 8-inch slug with an ounce and a half leadhead. It's the dumbest thing ever. Seriously, you throw it out, you let it sink, and you wind it back in 10 or 15 feet, let it sink again, and all the 99% of the bites are in the sink. And it's, I don't care if you're fishing El Salto bass, you're fishing Point Loma calico bass, La Jolla bass, if you're fishing rockfish, they all have the same reactionary property, and 99% of the bites are going to be on the sink, period.
I feel like I hear you talk about fishing that slug so much more, and like I don't know if it's just me or if it's in general or like the public or the perception is that you got to have that paddle tail, but I feel like you have so much drive for fishing that slug.
Absolutely.
I think what I'm trying to say is it feels like that might be a more underutilized bait than a lot of people give it credit for.
You're probably right. Yeah, because like you said, the people want to see a motor. They want to see a paddle tail. They want to see a means of propulsion on the back of the bait. But keep in mind, the paddle tail, the viejos, all of those are absolutely wonderful. But remember, the cleaner the water, the less you really want to show them. And what I mean is in motion. You don't want to show them too much paddle. You don't want to use the hard thumping 5-inch paddle tail when you've got absolute blue water up against the kelp, because you're almost showing them too much.
Okay.
You want to use the paddle tail in low light condition. This is what I use anyway. I'm sharing with you what I do. Low light condition, nighttime or dirtier water. When the visibility's low, you want to draw that attention by the hard thumping paddle tail. The slug, whether you're using a weightless or on a lead head, is so much more effective in clean water. It takes two things: clean water and sunlight. If you have visibility with clean water and you have visibility with daylight, it is a home run. It draws hands down the same reactionary bite properties as the weedless over the kelp.
Really?
It's a fun way to do it. The faster you fish it, the more drive that the bite's going to be, like like rod jarring. I mean, like you better be holding on.
I love that
yeah.
so much, man.
I do
cool.
too. It's a fun way to do it. It is. The only thing I do is I super glue the slug to the lead head.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's not a paddle tail to get bit off. The thing's going to last you a long time.
Lots of great options out there. Do you have a favorite lead head for it? Or and you don't even need to be specific if you don't want. Do you have a favorite shape? You know,
I like the weedless style, whether it's Efren's, whether it's a boxer head. Like, that style marries up perfectly.
Okay.
And it just, if you have any type of little loose grass, it's going to come down your line and not get caught on any, hopefully not get caught on the hook.
Got
because
it.
The hook's exposed. You want it exposed.
Yeah.
And again, you look at that and the hook is in the first 2 inches of an 8-inch bait.
Yeah.
Don't use a trailer hook. If you feel the need to do, do so. But understand that anything that's a pound and a half or 2 pounds is going to go right for that head.
I dig it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, man. I get goosebumps.
So fired up. That's awesome. Well, hey, I hope that answers the question, man.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the text. Hey, let's find out what's going on the water. It's time for our FishDope.com report by the man, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen. Today, that report sponsored by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over 3 decades. Check out the Fish Pro series and the custom bluefin and yellowfin knives from Anza Knives. They're made from high carbon steel, which holds a great edge, and they're easy to sharpen. Anza knives are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com for more details, or check out the Fish Pro series available at Fisherman's Processing. Let's talk to the man, Captain Dave Hansen's on the line right now. Good morning, Dave.
Well, good morning, guys. Good morning. Gosh, all this talk about calico bass, you know me, that's my favorite fish to fish for, Corey, so gets me fired up. And when you were saying put the super glue on, Jimmy Decker taught me a long time ago that you do that so you don't get your pants pulled down.
That's exactly it, yep.
All right, gang. So, hey, I know most of you have heard already on the show today and yesterday, but boy, oh boy, does that bluefin really want to get on the boats. It is doing its very, very best to get on the boats. It starts out there at the Tanner, runs all the way into Clemente. That bigger fish is off that east end of Clemente again. The table's set for a phenomenal September. And then if you look at what's going on below the border, and now it's kind of trickling up here, is all that Dorado, and there's some yellowfin mixed with the Dorado, yellowtail on the kelps. There is so much to go fishing for right now. The only thing that's been hampering us is that stupid wind. It looks like we might have a little window of calmness again this week, and you know what's going to happen when we can all get out there again, and we're all going to catch fish because there is so much fish out there right now. And then if you go to Catalina or Clemente, there's all kinds of stuff happening over there. The calico bass still think it's spring. They're still in the spawn mode. All the males, their cheeks are all golden still, which is unbelievable for what we're coming into the end of the summer, fall. They still think it's spawning time over there. They're all messed up, and so they're biting everything that hits the water. And then to mix that up, there's yellowtail on the spots all up and down the front side of Catalina and Clemente. I had a couple clients over there yesterday. They had phenomenal yellowtail fishing on the front side of the island. Never saw another boat. Everybody's focused on that bluefin. But like I say every week, there's no reason to not go fishing. And then the coast, I don't know if Brian said it or not, but that calico bass on the coast is really trying to bite when the weather is nice. There's lots of them. It looks like an aquarium. A lot of the pictures I'm seeing, just thousands of those 10 to 15 inch calicos behind the boats when the weather's calm. So go fishing, go fishing, go fishing. That's all I could say is you got to go fishing.
That is a very good tip, man. Good advice. Well, we appreciate that as always, man. Good fishing to be had. And if somebody wants to get up to date and learn how to catch those big bluefin when the weather straightens out and they want to jump in the white bags, how do we get the best info from your saltwater guide?
Well, go to my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com, and there is a great video series from Rick that's talking to you guys right now that shows you exactly how to rig. So if you want a good video series on rigging, Ricky's got a nice series on there. Plus, there's just everything you can possibly imagine for fishing in Southern California we cover at yoursaltwaterguide.com. So go check it out. And thanks for letting me be on, and I'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
Great job, buddy. Appreciate it very much, Dave. Appreciate that. We'll look forward to talking next week. And if you want to get the best info on what's biting on the water and where they are catching them, fishdope.com is the spot. There's no doubt about it. Danny and the boys do a great job compiling every day from guys like Dave, from the sport boats, from the spotter planes. Every day there's multiple reports a day put up to put you on those big ones. And if you want to get your shot at that, you can use the code HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase with no space, HOOKUPNOW. Saves you $20 on a new membership. Dave, appreciate a great report as always. We will look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, guys, I'll listen to the show some more. I love it when Corey's on. All right, see ya.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah,
appreciate
good
that
times.
Very much. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information, and more of your text. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more. You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. Fishdope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. Fishdope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island 365 days a year. Fishdope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. Fishdope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot fight icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have fishdope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use this special code to save $20 on a new fishdope.com membership. Check it out today. Fishdope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
2 years ago, Gamakatsu set out to develop a hook light enough for live bait to swim naturally, yet strong enough to handle your next trophy bluefin. The answer? The Gamakatsu Nautilus Heavy Duty. Most captains agree the Gamakatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with the introduction of the Nautilus HD, no matter how big the tuna, Gamakatsu has a hook to handle it. The new Nautilus HD is now available with solid ring or standard hook. Get it now at select tackle shops and start getting bit.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing APCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, APCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel, bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, APCO fillet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet knives from APCO. Any fish, any water.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Phones are jam-packed, but if you want to get your shot, we got a big block of your phone calls coming right now. 833-288-0973. Not only your chance to talk to Corey Sandin from MC Swim Baits, but also your shot at winning that great prize, a full-day trip on the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing. Corey, phones are packed up. Let's do it, man. Let's jump into them. Dan in El Cajon is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show.
Good morning, Dan.
Somebody already asked the question I initially wanted, but I have another one. With the freshwater presentation, what pound test are you using with your swim bait?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I fish pretty darn heavy, you know. Even with that little 4-inch and a 3-aught Gamakatsu, I'll throw a 40-pound, especially.
Really?
Yeah.
This is a surprise.
50-pound braid to a 40-pound leader. And the only reason, and I understand, is because Castman can attest to it. Like, all the junk that you're throwing into, like, literally up and over and on the rock, in the water, and through so much junk, you're never in a straight line to your lure because of the directional changes from the timber. Just imagine that.
Got it.
So when you come tight to a fish, you want to be able to have that chafing gear just to keep you in line. I mean, just to,
totally.
You could get it done with 12-pound all day long, but you're going to bust fish off every other cast, I promise you, if you're fishing it the way that I'm painting it out to you.
Sure.
You know?
You changed the way that I fished for calicos, for sure. Like, when I grew up, you fish calico bass, you fish 12. Like,
yeah,
that's the
right.
size line,
fly line
you fly line an anchovy with, and you cast a lead head and a grub with.
Right.
And you said it best that you're not, you don't need 60-pound to land a calico bass.
Absolutely
on your
not.
First cast.
Absolutely not.
But you don't know when the 6-pounder or 7-pounder or 8-pounder is going to bite. And if he bit your 20-pound on the first cast, you'd probably be all right. If you hooked him on the far and the outside of the mouth, you'd land that fish just fine.
I'll tell you what.
But
after
if you get that bite at number 50 for the day and you had 20-pound, he's going away.
Absolutely, I promise you. Like, so fishing locally, if you've had 15 or 20 fish and all of a sudden an 8-pounder comes up and eats it, I mean, if you hadn't had that heavy chafing gear, you probably wouldn't land it. And I'll tell you, all the heartbreaks don't come like halfway in or at the boat.
Never.
Every single heartbreak comes on the hook set.
Totally.
On the hook set.
And you knew.
Like,
you knew.
The bite, you saw the fish, and everything went down, and you set the hook, and you just imagine that 8-pounder eats your lure, inhales it, turns its head at the same time you're setting the hook. Take five hacksaw blades, top and bottom, and rub your 60-pound fluoro over them as the hacksaw blades are trying to clamp down.
Yeah.
You're done instantly.
Totally.
I'm telling you. That's the only reason. That bite's so heavy.
And the bites still come. The bites come
oh,
just
yeah.
the bite. That's what blew me away.
Yes.
I grew up fishing calico bass on the New Seaforth. That was my whole life,
right.
You know, when I was growing up. And the bites come just as good
they do.
Fishing 40 and 50 and 60 as they do fishing 12. And it took a lot for me to do it. And it was one of those things where if I went down and saw Jeff Mariani and I was fishing at Cedros, well, yeah, then I got no problem fishing 50-pound.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that at home. It's no different. That's the
it
same
isn't.
Fish. That's the same fish doing the same thing.
Yep, absolutely. And that's freshwater using a 40-pound Seaguar. You know, it's semi-overkill, but once you understand the program.
Totally.
You could come tight to a fish and probably open up that 3-aught before you would ever need the 40-pound, right? But it's just, understand it's just chafing gear.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, it's not bulletproof, but it's... You want it to be near.
Totally. And if you make 100 cast in a row coming over timber and every nick and rock and quag and everything
exactly
else
it.
Is nicking up your line and then you hook the 6.
But you mentioned Cedros, and what I do is I will not fish anything under 80-pound fluoro down there. Seriously, like 100%. And when I started on the skiff trips, like even on the qualifier days, I even experimented with like 120-pound. I mean, like like monster leader, right?
Yeah.
Like you would never need it, but I'll just see if they'll eat it, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no issue.
That's
it's
so cool.
It's so reactionary, whether it's El Salto, local kelp, or Cedros. It is 100% a reactionary bite. They're not looking at the line. They're not looking at you. They're looking at that bait, and they want it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
God, that gets me pumped
up.
Oh,
chills. I'm telling you.
Dan, appreciate the phone call, buddy.
Good
very
one.
Much. Thanks a lot for that. Let's jump back into him and talk to Bruce. He's calling us from Lemon Grove this morning. Hi, Bruce. Welcome to the show.
Hey, great show as usual. Thanks for taking my call. Corey, when you're in the dirtier water and you're bumping it on the bottom, are you burning it back to the boat or are you popping it up and down?
Well, dirtier water and bumping on the bottom is far from what I like to do, honestly. It's just not my style. I love everything in the upper water column, visual. I just might not be fishing so effective that day. But when you talk about bouncing the bottom, I'm thinking colder water, colder, dirtier water. And it may take a slower presentation to get bit. You know, and burning it back to the boat and that kind of thing may not work. If there's a little bit of water temperature, maybe it's come up from 57 or 8 and it's now 60 degrees, which is still cold, but And speaking of what we're speaking about, that's a 3-degree raise in temperature, and you may be able to get bites on the reactionary. In fact, I've done that locally when our local water went back down to 58 to 61 degrees after being 68. I was still drawing bites and catching 30 fish, which isn't normal, but it was happening.
Yeah, but it was cold water, but it didn't matter that it's cold. They got settled in at
That's
cold,
exactly it.
And then it started to climb.
That's exactly
and
it.
And they got fired up.
So bouncing on the bottom and cold 57-degree water, that's the way to do it. If it's come up a few degrees and they're feeling a little warm even at 60, you're going to draw reactionary bites.
A scenario like that,
yeah.
It is colder water, and you do feel like you're going to be catching them closer to the bottom. Are you fishing the paddle tail bait, or are you fishing the slug?
I guess I'm going to have to tie on a paddle tail swim
okay.
bait. Yeah, it's just not my gig, really. I mean, I make a million of them, right?
Sure.
But it's just not my style. It
right.
isn't. You know, it's not the way I want to draw a bite. But it may be the most effective for that situation.
And again, with the slug, the slugs, it's not like fishing for lingcod. You want as light of a lead head, you said, as you
do.
Could get.
And you need the clean water. So Bruce drew up the scenario, dirtier water.
Sure,
so you wouldn't need to draw attention with a paddle tail. But the lead-headed slug with a light lead head, man, the redirectional changes that come on the sink are incredible. Like, it's not just a straight tail bait sinking on a lead head. It's got so many directional changes and so lifelike looking. If you just put it in the water and jig your rod tip up and down, you'll see that thing dart around, and it's mesmerizing.
That's cool.
I love it, man.
That's awesome.
A good way to do it, Bruce.
Go get him, buddy. Appreciate the phone call very much. So check in with the text now. Chuck from Long Beach, regular caller, the checking in on the text. He wants Corey to explain your famous surf rig for halibut.
Oh, man, the drop shot rig.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was throwing that a lot this spring, and I had some halibut. Bit, not a ton of legals, but when there was a scenario this spring, early summer, where there was a lot of halibut being caught locally. I love hearing about it because we haven't had that in really the last 5 years with, you know, the quote-unquote El Nino stuff happening. And it's a good way to do it. So the drop shot rig, as everybody knows, a weight on the bottom, a hook up above, usually 18 inches, 16 inches, and you put your offering on that hook and you shake it around, and that's a drop shot. Well, for the surf, I like it at least 2 feet up to 2.5 feet long from your sinker to your hook.
That's a long ways.
It is a long ways, but you have to imagine, put the angle of your cast in there, and it's really only 8 to 12 inches off the bottom.
Okay.
And with the surf in the troughs, or whether you're in surf grass, that offering, that like I make a drop shot bait, or you can use a slug style lure on a 5-aught hook, will stay in that bite zone so much longer. You can twitch a jerk it. You can let the surf work it. There's 100 different ways to utilize the motion of the surf to work your lure and keep it in that bite zone. It really pisses them off. I mean, they can't.
I love it.
Not like a regular swim bait where you're going to drag it through the zone quickly.
Yeah.
You may draw the reactionary bite, but I promise you 8 out of 10 halibut may not jump at a reactionary bite.
What the drop shot surf bait that you make?
Yes,
really cool. But it's pretty unique.
It's unique.
Can you kind of describe? I mean, I know it's not easy to describe something on the radio, but maybe describe how it's different than what people are used to. Most MCC.
It's in a slug style shape, elongated. It's got a little scale pattern, and the tail on the back is up and down, like anatomically correct.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
not like sideways like a fluke. And so that gives it a different kick and a different realism. And the bulk of the plastic is in the front half.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half gets
real skinny.
But it's giving it action and
yeah.
lifelike twitches. And there's a lot to it. You don't have to do a lot to it to get it to be lifelike.
Because the surf is doing a lot of that work for
you. It is. And I'll do a lot of that from the boat in the bay, too,
okay.
down sand channels in the eelgrass. And you won't believe how many halibut just follow that thing. They follow it. They parallel it. They get up next to it. And and after about 10 feet of following it and you twitching it, working it, then they make a 1-foot to 2 foot blast and eat it.
That's so cool.
It's, again, you're drawing a reaction, and it's all visual.
Maybe this worthy of talking about, too, because I know you do it slightly different. The real common freshwater drop shot, guy ties a Palomar knot and ties a sinker onto the tag end. You don't like to do that for this style of rig, right?
And the size of the sinker I'm using and the size of the hook, it's all different. The torpedo sinker is at least a 1 ounce.
Oh, wow.
Heavier than what you would think. And I'm throwing the whole rig on, like, 20 to 30-pound braid and, like, super light and finessey, a 6.5-foot rod, super short, light, finessey, 200-style reel. You're thinking, 1 ounce sinker, my gosh, Corey. But understand, as you're twitching and working that, you want that torpedo sinker, and I say torpedo over and over because it's got to maintain some type of weedlessness.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming over the eelgrass, surf grass, and remaining weedless. But that's your pivot point as you're twitching and working it, and that bait just going crazy. Like, it looks so lifelike, but it's not moving out of the zone.
Got it.
So when you know the trough or you know the sand channel, that drop shot is so lethal because you got it in their wheelhouse and it won't move. And you can watch them come from a distance to come to it.
That sinker is just the anchor.
So every
twitch of the rod, that bait's dancing around, but it's not coming forward to you. It's just going side to side and up and down.
It's literally moving a quarter inch to half inch at a time as you're twitching and working it, and that's what you want. You want it to stay right there. There's a reason for it all, trust me. Yeah, that's a good question for sure.
That was a great text. We appreciate that. Well, let's jump back into the phones this time. Talk to John, calling from Escondido. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Rick and Corey. A couple questions, and my first one is when lobster season starts and I'm out on the bay and I'm, you know, just drifting, normally I buy a little boxes of squid, but the halibut don't like the squid. And so would you have a swim bait that you could drift and drag along the bottom, and how would you rig that?
Yeah, I mean, halibut aren't, like, big-time nighttime eaters, and they will, but in that first hour, if you're out there, you know, before dark and you're getting ready, you'll definitely get them on a 5-inch swim bait for sure, you know. Lead-headed slug thing, too, but you're falling in the low-light category, so I think a swim bait would be best. And, you know, as long as you have light, the smelt patterns, you know, you're not going to go wrong with for sure. And there's so many nice sand bass in San Diego Bay, if that's what you're talking about, John. I mean, there's so many sand bass that your world will be lit up, even in the dark.
Totally.
Yeah, having a good time while you're letting your hoop net soak, you know.
And a lot of the prime
structure
lobster area would be, you know, similar to prime sand bass areas.
It is. Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, all those same zones that you're catching sand bass, you could be dropping a hoop net on.
That's cool.
Or if you're dropping the hoop net, you could be catching sand bass. Oh, yeah. And nighttime, man, you catch some really good-sized sand bass.
Though that seems to be a fish that is not detoured at all. You know, some fish, for sure, you'll catch them right up to the point of almost black, and then they just kind of shut down.
Yeah.
Sand bass, sure, not that way.
No.
Those things love eating in the dark.
They do, yeah. The halibut, a lot less likely to catch in the dark, but, man, those sand bass will get lit
up.
Cool. They'll even come halfway up in the water column in the bay. Like, you might be in 50 feet of water, but you'll catch them 25 feet down.
Really?
Yeah, and even, like, the piers, like the Ammo Pier and the Cruise Pier and all these piers that have lights on them, the bait's attracted there, and, you know, what's behind the bait.
That's
You'll catch a lot of sand bass up in 10 feet of water, actually. Good ones, too.
That answer your question for you, John?
Yes, it does. Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy.
Good stuff, John.
That's cool. Appreciate it very much. How about next up, we talked to Rich, calling us from Bradley this morning. What's up, Rich? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rich.
Hey, well, thanks. I've got a couple questions about when sometimes the party boat skippers, they take us to where structure and cover are really not an issue. And I'm wondering, would I be better off in that scenario using monofilament? And you're talking about the paddle tails versus the slug. Would in that situation I be better off with a slug or with a paddle tail?
Rich, and refresh me, are you talking about fishing from a sport boat?
If you're on a party boat and sometimes they don't take you to the kelp or they don't take you to where structure is an issue, would I be better off using monofilament rather than like the kelp cutter rigs that you kind of went over in such fine detail?
Yeah, I mean, you can use monofilament, but and a lot of sport boat captains do prefer you to use mono, but in today's era, honestly, 30 to 50 pound braid with a short leader, and there's guys like Fred Huber that want to conk me on the head for saying it, right? But they just love monofilament, and I love mono too, and it's a part of the game, but I like being direct and feeling it and getting it all done. Personally, I'd be using 30 to 50 pound braid with a short top shot. And that scenario, the Wham or the lead-headed slug, it all falls in the same category.
Because you're not necessarily just using braid for this, you know, you're almost not at all really for like the kelp cutter reasons.
That's correct.
You're using it for feel, for lack of stretch, for direct connection, that kind of thing.
And think about it too, Rich. You're talking about monofilament like we were talking about earlier. You've got to go to 12 or 15 pound mono. You can't use 25 pound effectively and get it done. But the same diameter as 12-pound mono would be 50-pound braid.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use 50-pound braid and still use a 30-pound leader, and you're cutting through the water and getting the job done better than you would if you're using 12-pound mono, for sure.
That's cool, I promise you.
It's good stuff, Rich.
Appreciate the phone call, Rich, very much. Thanks a lot for that. Another text question came in from Mario in Pasadena. He wants to know, Corey, do calicos bite better in full sun, bright sky, bluebird, perfect day, or overcast conditions? And if you have an opinion on that.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Mario. And I mean, there's been so many good questions,
yeah,
Rick,
this is great.
Honestly.
This is great.
Because I don't always think about... My mind is so full of stuff, I'm always thinking about how to get it out, but you're asking the right questions. And the brighter the sun, the more likely they are to go for the cover. So if you've got kelp and you've got the canopy and the cover, I promise you that they're going straight for that cover. They're right underneath it. If you have cloudy conditions, they're more likely to come out of the cover and be maybe on a rocky area, a rocky spot. But having that sun out, it almost condenses them. It almost puts them into a zone where you know they're going to be.
Right.
You can dictate it,
yeah.
Right? And that's so. If you look at the stringers, you have a little bit of current. You know right where the bite's going to come from, and that throw it laid across the stringer at a 90 to 45 degree angle, and that kind of brings up another one for Mario too. Is the way you lay it out, you may know they're underneath that clump of stringers that's maybe the size of your car. Let's just lay it out for a visual. Size of your truck, you've got five stringers that are all laid together. I love to have that scenario because when you have the current, you know which way they're facing. They're facing forward.
You're like a salmon swimming into a river.
There it is. They're pointed forward. So your worst cast would be to throw it behind all the kelp.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming up behind them. Lay it in front of them so that it's visual to every bass in that group of stringers. The size of your car. I lay it out in front of the current. I lay it out. I make the cast so far away from that I'm not going to spook them or scare them. A lot of guys will hit it right on top. And, hey, man, I'm fishing it, but I'm not getting the bites. Well, you're splashing on top of them, and you're kind of ruining it before you even get to turn your reeling gear. I lay it way far away. I bring it to it. And by doing so, if the fish are down, you're allowing them to come up and meet it. They know it's coming.
Got it.
The bait's trying to go for that kelp for cover, and that's the scenario you're trying to lay out. And the more visual you give it, it's not just one bass. Now you're creating a competition factor. You're drawing 2, 3, 5, 10 fish.
Yeah.
And you're now drawn in even more of a reactionary bite because you have the competition factor involved. And I'm telling you, I love doing this. And same thing in freshwater, same thing in saltwater. It's the same scenario. There's current in freshwater everywhere.
Sure.
It's not stagnant.
I think that overwhelmingly you have said you said in a bunch of scenarios, and I think it's something that I know myself and all of us should really think about, is you're making all of those casts with a purpose.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like
every
when
single
you're just,
one.
When you're just drifting down the kelp, I know I do. I mean, you just kind of get in that monotony of like, oh,
yeah.
There's a lane. I'll throw it down
yeah.
that lane. But you're not doing that. You're looking at your cast and trying to figure out where that fish would be. And I think all of us, if we all had that same mindset every time, you're going to be making a better cast, or you're going to be more aware of when your bite's in that strike zone rather than just the monotony of chucking and winding. If you think about it the way that you keep describing, I think we'd all be a lot better off.
Right. And like Mario asked a great question, and knowing that sun's out and they've levitated toward those five stringers, I know exactly where they're going to come from.
That's cool.
And not that it doesn't always happen perfectly. But when the bite comes, it is, man. It's like, I don't even care if I hooked them. It's just like I fooled them.
You won.
You know?
Yeah, you won at that point. Like, you knew this is where they should be. This is the bait they should like. I make that cast, I get the bite. That's the win.
I'm telling you, I love it. It's my life and my passion. And I'm stoked to be able to share with you guys, you know, and the lures I make. And, yeah, I'm getting all humbled here. I'm sorry.
Well, let's jump back into the phone.
Let's do it.
That was a great text, Mario. Appreciate it very much. How about Chuck and Dana Point up next on Let's Talk Hook Up? Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, you guys. I finally get out to go bluefin fishing, and I've been calico fishing, you know, because the clouds of calicos we got here off Dana Point just been phenomenal. So here I am at the rail, first bite of the day, and I'm counting like I'm calico fishing.
Yeah.
Pop that thing off so fast. He bit it too far in, you know. And who sees me? The captain's under there. What do you think? You're calico fishing?
So
calls me out on it. That's too funny.
Oh, good times.
Those calico, man, they're aggressive. I've caught them at Coronado when we were catching bluefin and yellowtail, and they'd come up and charge on your bait and stuff, like 8-10 pounders. You'd think you'd had a yellowtail that was fighting a little different, you know. And there they are.
Absolutely.
So this time, isn't it great?
It is.
That's some of the real fun that's happening at the Coronado Islands right now, is there is a lot of anchor fishing to be done, and there are bluefin to be caught on the anchor at the islands right now. You know, not a lot, but kind of like the old days. And you could fly line a sardine back in the current and literally not know if you're going to hook a
calico or
a yellow, a bonita, a bluefin. I mean, all those things, you know, at play on the same anchor job at the islands right now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's good stuff, Chuck.
Appreciate the phone call, Chuck, very much. Let's next up talk to Roger, calling us from San Marino this morning. Hey, Roger, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning.
From what I understand, you get a lot of bites on the sink and the drop, but I'm missing a lot of those because most of my bites are from retrieve. Just wondering, what are you looking for when you're getting bit on the drop? And am I using too light of a lead head, or?
You know, it could be you're using too light of a lead head, but if you're getting bites on the sink, you have to imagine they're eating the offering head first. So most fish you do hook on the sink, a 3/4 ounce lead head, 5-inch swim bait, you know, you don't think about it. The hook is the point of the lead head sticking out of the mouth, and the hook's in the fish, mm-hmm. right? But that fish ate it head first. It ate it the other way around. It ate it with a head and a hook pointed down, and as you set the hook, it then gets turned around. And that's a scenario when they're eating on the sink. So I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe fishing, if you're not already, maybe that's a scenario, again, to fish braid and a little piece of fluoro. So you can feel that a little better. Maybe you won't be missing it as much. Or
it could be.
Fishing a rod that's got a little more graphite in it, maybe, so you can feel things like that
Inshore right.
Pro, Corey Sandin Inshore Pro series, right. Something like that.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, that definitely could change it for sure, you know. And if it's sinking too slow, maybe they're just tapping it and maybe instead of a 1/2 ounce, maybe try a 3/4 ounce. Or instead of 3/4 ounce, try the 1 ounce. Because the faster it sinks to them, the more of an aggressive bite you're going to draw. And that could be, I mean, it could be a way to change it
sure.
up. It could be.
Appreciate the call very much, Roger. Thank you. Yeah, and like I said, that's the thing. You got to... I think a good takeaway from that too is not to just keep doing it. Not to just keep. I missed 20 that day. Well,
yeah.
let's switch it up to figure out how you're not missing them. You know, rather than just I was getting bites, I might as well keep doing the same thing. Eventually, I'll stick one. Like,
yeah.
No, let's figure out how to.
You know, the cool part of it, Rick, is every day is different. I could have went out yesterday and it was one way, and I go out today thinking it's that same one way, and today is parallel but completely different.
Totally.
You know, and that's the cool part of it, is just trying to pick it apart and figure out how they're going to eat.
Yeah, how many days have you fished the Point Loma kelp? Hundreds and thousands of
absolutely,
them.
Yeah.
And every one is always different.
It's always different.
Yeah.
And you could line up 10 days in a row, and it's 7 ways different.
Yeah.
I promise you.
That's cool.
That's a cool part of it.
We got a really cool text question that came through from Ronnie in La Mesa. He wants to know if Corey ever fishes underspin lead heads or flashy, you know, flashy spin weedless style hooks on any of your baits in the kelp, and if so, what your thoughts are on
it. Yeah, so the flashy style, which is a weedless style hook, imagine imagine the 7-0 Kamikatsu with a flasher on the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that scenario works. It works good on a slower retrieve.
Oh, okay.
You're slowing it down and getting it slow. It works. It's a great El Salto technique.
Really?
It works
Salto.
Really good.
Okay.
A little bit dirtier water, like 2 foot of visibility, dirtier. And it just gives, it's at one-third the speed, super slow, and you're allowing the fish to come up, and it draws bites when nothing else will.
Okay.
Yeah, like El Salto. It works locally, too, but it's too slow for me. I don't want to put myself in a position where I'm slowing myself down.
Got it.
I don't.
You want to give it to him.
Absolutely. And so that flashy style would be slowing it down.
All right. Well, that's a great one.
Yeah, it is.
Appreciate that very much. Not a ton of time. Let's try and sneak in another caller. How about Brian from Wildomar up next on Let's Talk Hookup? Hey, Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
All right. Hello? Well, how about we try Mark from Lakeside? Mark, you still hanging there with us?
Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, I'm still here. How's it going, guys?
Great. What's up, Mark?
Hey, a quick question. I'm sure that Corey doesn't want to hear this, but I smacked the tails on my swim baits and then soak them overnight in anchovy oil, but sounds like it's all reactionary bite. Am I wasting my time and my money?
Well, you're on a good technique if you're fishing in dirtier water, slowing it down, or nighttime. Yeah, that attractant, like Tommy's uni butter and the hot sauce and that stuff, it works great. It does. There's a purpose. But you're absolutely right. Everything I'm doing is all a vision reactionary bait. They're not coming up and licking it and tasting it and then coming back for a rebite. It is 100%. You're drawing the bite. They're committed, and it's down the throat. It's that kind of bite.
It's one of those things that I've always said it never. It's never going to hurt
it doesn't
your
hurt.
Game.
Absolutely.
But in a lot of scenarios, it may not be the thing that you need, especially if you're fishing like Corey. Fishing fast, fishing with a purpose,
yeah.
Looking for that bite, that's probably not the
thing. It's fishing fast, but it's also covering area. It's covering from point A to point B, you know, point Z, just super effective and quick and trying to draw that reaction bite, you know. The coming up and licking it and coming back for the second bite isn't necessarily my style, right? But it's not going to hurt you.
Yep, good call. Mark, appreciate the phone call very much, buddy. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guy's got himself a full-day trip on board the San Diego out of Seaforth. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Rock Cod Rick here for West Coast Marine and Parker Boats. You see them all over Southern California waters. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore islands. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all size fishing in the same area as the Sporties. There's a good reason for it. Fishability and seaworthiness. Of all the boats out there, my boat partner and I chose to get a brand new 25 Parker center console from Kevin Kelly and the gang at West Coast Marine, and I could not be happier. Wow, what a fishing machine. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's why so many 4 and 6 pack charters choose to operate Parkers. We thank the guys at Pinnacle Sport Fishing, Season Sport Fishing, One Man Charters, Black and Blue Sport Fishing for their confidence in Parker boats. Take it from me, if you are ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check out their inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
This is Captain Art Taylor of the Searcher. 2020 is the golden anniversary of Cape Polaris and Searcher. Come help us celebrate 50 amazing years in sport fishing. Searcher has a great crew, awesome food, air-conditioned cabins and galley, and an RSW system to preserve your catch. Our 2020 schedule is available now, so this is a golden opportunity to make your reservation online at searchersportfishing.com or call Celia or Callie at 619-226-2400.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
A top fleet and superb fishing. Fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, the big winner going fishing on the San Diego on a full-day trip at a Seaforth Sport Fishing. Congratulations, Ed in Mira Mesa. You are going to have a great time fishing on that boat, no doubt about it. Corey, man, that one went by. We talked about how fast the first hour went by. The second one went by twice as quick, man.
A lot of fun.
Sure appreciate it. Great phone calls. And, man, it's just been such a busy morning. And speaking of busy, I can't imagine you pouring every bait. But if guys want to keep in touch with MC Swim Baits, I know you talked about a couple of fun spots you're going to be. Tackle Days,
yep.
Big Dana Landing, pre-Bay Bass Tournament Sale, Longfin. So
yeah, there's only a few places I really am. And at the Fred Hall Long Beach, you know, that's why you see it so busy.
Yeah.
You know, because the guys want to come down and get the right lures. But I've also got a couple trips down to Cedros kayak fishing too, so if somebody wants to come join, new dates, June 7th to the 11th, excellent bass
time.
And then the beginning of October, there's a couple trips there too, so CedrosKayakFishing.com.
Okay, and you can book those through Jeff?
And yeah, that is. And then the other one would be the Let's Talk Hookup. I won't be there for that one, but Let's Talk Hookup has an awesome one October 15th in that zone too. So.
Right on. Well, great time. It was fun. I look forward to getting to do this again. And we look forward to talking to you again real soon. Another couple of great shows coming your way. Again, next Saturday, live from El Cajon Ford with Jeff Mariani from Cedros Kayak Fishing. I'm sure we'll be talking about that trip. And the next Sunday, Valerie Hooprich from Queen Charlotte Safaris and Harold Davis from Davis Boats, a brand new adventure that we'll be doing up at the Queen Charlotte's. Going to be a great time fishing up there. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Great show. Look forward to talking to you next week on Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.